Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you 1 Samuel chapter 2. I just have had something heavy on my heart for a while, and so I've just talked with God about it, and I want you to understand today that I'm not here to preach you a sermon. I'm not here to tell you or make you think you're doing something wrong or anything like that. God's just been dealing with me about honor. And so I'm just going to talk to a little bit. So if you would, you just receive what you can receive out of this and receive what you need. How many know all of us don't need the same thing? But I usually figure if God's talking to me about it, then it's okay if I talk about it because He's probably talking to others about it. But God said something to the priest Eli in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. He said, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your father would walk before me forever. But now, says the Lord, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Holy Spirit, you know all the things I've thought about, so I ask you just to steer me and guide me, and let us hear something from Father's heart this morning. And we thank you for that. God said, "Those who honor me, I will honor, and those that don't honor me, I won't honor." That's a pretty heavy statement. That's a pretty revealing statement. I've just been thinking about something and seeing something for quite a while now, and I guess a lot of it is that we've been through one of the ugliest presidential campaigns that we've ever been through, and I just watched. There doesn't seem to be a sense of honor, a spirit of honor anywhere. There seems to be a spirit of disrespect that seems to be flooding everywhere. God spoke to me whenever I was listening to all the bitterness. And if you'll watch now, those spirits now, they don't have that to focus on. So they're still trying to stir up, and they're still trying to disrespect, and they're still trying to, you know, we're people are disrespecting our country. They're disrespecting our flag. They're disrespecting our government. Used to, it really didn't matter if you liked who the president was or didn't like who the president was. You would show them respect because of that office, because of that position. And I just see so much disrespect and so much contempt. And if we're not careful, church, that filters into us as godly people. If we're not careful, we're not honoring anything either. I don't look at Facebook. I don't really know anything. I don't know. I know I get my thought on the Facebook. Gary puts that on for me. But every once in a while I'll hear something from Facebook, and I'm really glad I don't read it and don't listen to it because I want to like you. And let me just say this. You cannot be a person of honor and be disrespectful. You either need to decide. I either need to decide. And I've been guilty, and I don't care if it's disrespect towards Clinton or Trump or government or this, or because it ends up being against you because you did something to hurt me, and it ends up being against, you know, and it filters down, and we don't respect pastor, we don't respect God, we don't respect church, we don't respect the things of God, and you know, and trust me, I'm not saying this because I think that's where we're at. But I've just learned to check myself. Does that make sense? I just learned to keep a check on myself. And every once in a while, I just go sit myself down. And I just set myself down and say, self, you need to pay attention to what you're doing. Honor and disrespect don't mix. You're either one or the other. Let me see, Lord, how do you want me to say this? And if it bothers you, maybe he didn't want me to say it that way. Maybe I just did it. But, you know, it's pretty hard. I mean, when we go to God, we're sick, or we've got need, or our children's sick, or we go to God and we want to speak words that bring health and bring healing and bring prosperity and bring the goodness of God into our life. How many know when we do that, we're serious about it? And those words are important, aren't they? Aren't they? Is anybody here today? Say, yeah, but you're setting me up. I don't want to volunteer for anything. You know, every time you do that, you in a sense have to overcome all the other words that you said. I wonder what Jesus meant when he said we'd stand accountable for every idle word. And if I disrespect you, then I really don't have that great of an audience with my Father. I'll tell you what made me start thinking about this a while back, and I need to hasten on with this, but it's been quite a while back. I was speaking at an event, and there was a lady there, and she was a real sweet lady and real smart lady, lot smarter than I would ever dream to be, but this lady just talked all the time, and I don't know, when I go somewhere and speak, you know, I need a minute or two somewhere where I just go, God, you know, help me, I need to hear Holy Spirit clear my mind, I need to hear what you want me to, I mean, I need just a couple minutes, you know, to kind of talk that way, and every time I stop here, she'd bump into me, and she'd just talking, and you know, and I unconsciously, I started pushing her away, you know what I mean. You know, those feelings you get like, oh, God, lady, would you shut up? Would you? I'm thinking this. I don't say it, you know, because I'm spiritual, so I don't say it. So I think if I just think it, it's okay. Huh? And so I'm going, you know, and I mean, I felt kind of like Paul when that guy was following him around or something. One of them was following him around in the book of Acts. But you know, and so I didn't pay attention. I'm kind of, every time I'm trying to just get away from her, kind of, you know, and I'm thinking that way, and I even catch myself a time or two. I hope she didn't see it, but I kind of roll my eyes going, my goodness, Lord, give me a break here, you know, and that kind of went on for a while, and how many know we all do that a little bit? I mean, if somebody comes up to you and you don't like them, you kind of send signals to push them away, don't you? Huh? But you know, I got home and just had some. I had something in here that felt so bad. If I could have took a shower on the inside, I think I would have. And God spoke to my heart. And before he got done talking and I got done listening, I was saying, Father, forgive me. And help me to never be disrespectful to anybody ever again. You know, it's pretty hard to be where we want to be with God if we are disrespectful with each other. And that's not where I'm going with this, but I guess it's where I ended up, huh? So, well, I've got an opinion. Yeah, you know, but, you know, we usually ought to keep our opinions to ourselves. You know, God never told us to waste words on what we think's right or what we think's wrong. He told us to use those words to create. And I just think now with all the, you know, evil doesn't give up easy. And the kingdom of darkness has been shaken in this country, no matter what you believe. And some things are going to change. How much changes depends on us. How much we pray for our country and pray for our leaders. How much we believe that God is intervening. Because this stuff doesn't happen because Trump's elected or Hillary's elected or so-and-so's elected or this has happened or that. The only way goodness starts happening is if God does it. And we need to pray harder now than we did before the election. Because evil's not going to give up easy. But we got a chance, folks. God's given us another chance. And we're supposed to be different than the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. If you put anything on Facebook or you send text messages or you send emails, they ought to be something that's different than what the world's putting out. Anyway, that's just my two cents. But we just don't show honor, and it reflects through to God and the things of God. And God said here, He said, you honor me and I'll honor you. We all honor you, but the story behind what he said there, the story was Eli the priest had two sons. And these two sons, because Eli was in the lineage, in the line of Levi, the Levitical priesthood, these sons automatically became priests too. And so they were priests, but these priests, they were defiling the things of God. They were taking the offerings for themselves, and they were sleeping with the women that were coming to church, and they were doing a lot of disrespectful things. And God told Eli about it, and he said, Eli, this, you know, but Eli wouldn't correct his sons. And I mean, he kind of passively did it, but he wouldn't say, hey, this isn't going to happen here, you're not going to do this. And God just got mad, and God said, hey, what he's saying in this scripture, he says, I know I promised that the priesthood that would come down through the lines from Levi, but he said, I know I promised it would stay and it would be with your fathers, but I'm changing my mind. I don't know about you. I don't want him to change his mind about me. Huh? He said, I'm changing my mind. He said, you honor me, I'll honor you. But if you don't honor me, then I'm not going to honor you. So they were not honoring him by the things they were doing. You say, well, I know, but I don't do that. And I know that. But I just wonder if every once in a while we had not to just check and just, you know, kind of look and kind of say, you know, God help, I do this. And I'm learning to do it more often. God, I the things I do, Father, I want them to be genuine. If I get up and say something, Father, I want it to be something that's really in me. If I do something, God, if I say something, I said, I want that to be the way I am on Monday or Tuesday. And how many know we're all still working on it? Ann, she's a troublemaker, and I see her back here, and we always pray over the list of folks that have lost a loved one. And so I come down here, and I see her again, and she goes, oh, you're smiling now, you know. And I guess I wasn't smiling when I came in, you know. And I said, well, sometimes it takes me a little while to work one up, you know. But I want to be the same all the time, don't you? And you're not really a troublemaker, Ann. You're a sweetheart, okay? Yes, she is. Do you want to stand up and dance or anything? Or, you know, okay. Malachi is another story. I'll read it real quick to you. And I don't usually read this much scripture, but I just want us to think about some things and what we do and what we don't do and how we do it. But Malachi gets a job. He comes on the scene here prophet of God, and God's people have, they have developed a corrupt lifestyle. The priests are corrupt. There's wicked practices. They have a false sense of security because they were God's chosen people, and so they just kind of think they can get away with anything. Because I mean, God loves me, so I can just do whatever I want. And they've drifted into hypocrisies and infidelity and mixed marriages and divorce and false worship and arrogance and you know, they've just done what the human, what the fleshly part of us always pulls us that way, doesn't it? And so Malachi shows up, and he deals with all these things in the chapter of Malachi. We usually just use the third chapter there and try to get you under condemnation if you're not bringing your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. But he's dealing with the attitude here of the people. And matter of fact, the people had gotten to a point where the word of God didn't faze them anymore. They didn't pay attention to it. They didn't react to it. It didn't faze them. And matter of fact, after Malachi got through talking, God didn't talk again for 400 years till John the Baptist came on the scene. So it's an interesting story. I didn't mean to get into all that. But in the first chapter, it says this. It says, this is God. He says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. And he says, if then I am the father, where's my honor? And if I am the master, where's my reverence? This is God talking to his people. Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. And yet you say, well, in what way have we despised your name, Lord? And he said, you offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, what have we defiled? In what way have we defiled you? Or in other words, he's saying, hey, he said, you've just defiled me. You've just disrespected me with your offerings. And they said, well, how did we do that? And he says, by saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible or despised. He said, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is that not evil? Do you understand what he's saying here? He's saying, you're not bringing me your best anymore. You're just bringing me what's left over. See, the Levitical law was you find an animal without a spot or without a blemish. Why was that? Well, because that was a type of Jesus coming. That was a type of Christ. And he said, and it was real strict if you get back there and read it. And I always thought, well, gosh, he was awful hard. But you find something without a blemish. And so God's saying here now, he said, you're not bringing me your best anymore. You're bringing me the old blind ones and the old sick ones and the old lame ones because you can't sell them and get anything out of them. Said, you're not bringing me your best. You're just giving me what's left over. And he said, go offer those to the governor and see if he's pleased with you. Just tell the government you're not paying your income tax this year and see if that works. I just always try to read this in a way that I can understand it, okay? But he says, would he be pleased with you? Would he accept your favorability? Says the Lord of hosts. In other words, if go give this to the government and see if they'll be satisfied with it. Tell you what, in a couple months, why don't you just before April 15, why don't you just call up the government and say, hey, you know, I'm not going to send all that this month, I'll send you this month because this is how much I got left over. How many think that'll work? Let me advise you, don't do anything like that, okay? You don't want them in your pocket. You don't want them with you. because they live with you for a long time when they show up. But anyway, he says, but now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept your favorability, says the Lord of hosts? And he goes on and says, Who is there even among you who would shut the doors and so that you would not kindle the fire on my altars in vain, and I have no pleasure in you? What he's saying here is, see, I want you to understand, it's not just offering that he's talking about. He's talking about attitude. And he's saying here, he said, not only that, but you guys won't even open and shut the doors here for the temple. You won't even help build the fire. You won't even do the things that I need you to do without somebody paying you for it. In other words, you won't even serve me unless somebody coaxes you and pays you and talks you into it. And they'd gotten a pretty sorry place, hadn't they? Haven't they? He said, I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Then he goes on and says, the table of the Lord is defiled or disrespected or dishonored. He said, and its food is contemptible. Disrespectful is what that word means. And you say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen and the lame and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? He says, be cursed, you deceiver, who has the flock, has in his flock a male, and he takes a vow, but he sacrifices to the Lord what is the blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among all nations. I don't know, that just spoke to me. He says, hold it. He says, I'm only worth what you think I'm worth to you. I'm only worth, you know, and hey, we love God, and you wouldn't have came out today if you didn't love God, but I just, you know, I just see it sometimes if we don't pay attention, our attitude seems to shift a little bit. And I'll tell you why I believe that God is having me share this. What have we been talking about for a couple months here? Signs, wonders, miracles, supernatural things happening. And you know what? They're starting to happen. I just talked with a man and they got a house this week. And this is what I really believe. God says, I'm going to bring my people. He's talking about you people, okay? Because I'm before him for you. I'm believing for the signs following me are going to be in your lives and in your families. And I just believe God's saying, I'm going to raise some folks up and I'm going to bless them so abundantly. And my purpose in some of the things I'm doing is I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. I mean, I want you, whenever it happens, I want you to give glory and honor where it belongs. And it's not because Hank preached the message. It's because Jesus Christ went to Calvary. It's because he loves you. It's because he's redeemed you. And listen, just listen, there's some of you are going to be given more than you're making now. Well, when I used to be sitting out there and Mac was up here and he'd say something like that, I'd be shouting because I decided I was going to be one of them. And you know what? I am one of them. Huh? And so are many of you. But I'm telling you, he's opening up something, and he wants to be first place. He wants to be the most valuable to you. Let me read you a couple verses out of Matthew chapter 13. And just apply this to what I'm saying here. And there's somebody, you don't even have a job. Right now, you make a commitment to God with your finances. Right now, you make a commitment to tithe and give offerings. Don't just say, I'm going to try this. You make a commitment for the rest of your life. And I don't know who you are, but when it starts happening, I want you to tell me, because I want to shout it from the rooftop. You make your commitment now, but the day's coming when you're going to be given more than you ever made. Okay? So somebody listening to me, I hope it's in here. I hope it's not just on the broadcast. You've been getting discouraged. I'm telling you, look up. Look up, because it's breaking for you. Anyway, let me read this, and we'll probably get back to that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. He finds the kingdom of God, the things of God are so important, Jesus is saying, that's what the kingdom of God's like. That this it's like a hidden treasure, and it's so valuable that you sell everything you have so you can buy the field. He says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, and when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. I want us to put that together, because what God's saying is, I want to be first in your life. I want to be more valuable to you than anything else. What I've learned is, anything that I couldn't just walk away from today if I had to, if God told me to walk away and go do something, if I can't walk away from it, that's more important to me than what He's telling me. Does that make sense? This word honor means to make heavy, to make burdensome. It reflects, I don't know, a heaviness, a weightiness. I want to try to explain what I'm saying. I want you to feel what I'm saying. It's a heaviness in there, a burdensome in there. It's like, God, I can't live without you. Does that make sense? God, Jesus, you're my everything. That's what this word honor means here that God uses. He wants to be our everything. I'm going to read something out of Proverbs 3 here. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him so that He can direct your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. For it'll be health for your flesh and strength for your bones. And then the same word here, he says, honor, everybody say honor. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be full and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now listen to me. You know what's been the problem in ministry? Everything in the ministry, we've preached as preachers, we've preached words, and everything was to try to get something out of you. Is that right? Huh? I mentioned Malachi 3 where he says, you've robbed me. And they said, well, how have we robbed you, Lord? And he said, with your tithes and offerings. He said, now prove me herewith and bring them into the storehouse. Prove me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not enough room to receive. But how many know we preach that because we want to make you feel guilty if you're not tithing. We want to make you feel guilty if you're not giving. And folks, that isn't what God's after. He said in Romans, he had Paul say, there's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. That means he's not holding any grudges against you. That means he's not waiting, watching to see for you to make a mistake and do something wrong so he can be mean to you. He's not trying to withhold from us. He's trying to give to us. I had a preacher call me a few years back and he said, Hank, I don't know what to do. Said my people said we just don't have enough money. We're just not able to make it. And I said, what are you talking? Are you preaching about, are you telling them about giving and telling them about, yes, I just preached on tithing last week. I said, yeah, but what are you telling them? Are you telling them to feel guilty if they don't do it? Or are you telling them that God wants them to do it so that he can open up avenues for them, so that he can flow blessings into their life? I said, are you telling them that it's not to get, it's so that God can give to you. And that if you do that, he'll open up those things in your life. He called me about a year later, Kenny, and he said, man, he said, people are giving, said, people are getting money, they don't even know where it came from. It's just coming from everywhere. Why? That's the kind of God we got. Are you hearing me? So he says, what's the whole point of Proverbs there? What'd I do with that? Where is Proverbs? Is that still in there? Oh, it's right by Psalms in it. Okay. What is the deal? He says, honor him with your possessions. What's that mean? God, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is because of you. Of course, I knew I was going to talk about this today, but I'm telling you what, for two days, I've just been thinking about all the blessings God's given me and thinking about all the things he's been doing in my life and thinking about all the things he's been speaking to my heart. And Chris texted me the other day and said something, and I said, yeah, I said, I'm just listening to Daddy. He's just telling me things and just praising him and worshiping him. And man, God is so good, and he's so big, and he has so much, and he wants to bless us so much. And we read this as in the first fruits, and everybody tenses up on the first fruit. Now, most of you don't, because you guys are all tithers, okay? And if you're not, just start doing it. Nobody ever know the difference, because I won't let anybody look either. But I want you to understand the benefits of giving. He said in Matthew 6:30, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and see if I won't add everything else to you. I want you to understand what he said. He's not trying to get from us. He's trying to say, Kim, I want to fill your barns up. Lord, I want your vats to overflow. I want you to dream things you've never dreamt before. I want you to think bigger than you've ever thought before. I want to do things so big in your life that you just go, wow. See, the whole thing isn't seek first the kingdom of God, and we just get that wrinkle in our forehead and we go, okay, God, I'm going to seek you. That isn't the point of it. The point of it, I want to do everything for you. I want to add everything to you. That makes sense? I want you to understand, God wants to bless you. He's in the blessing business. Luke 6:38 says, given, it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into things will be put into your bosom, or The King James says, men will give unto your bosom. That means the bosom, there's a big pocket. How many ever wore overalls? There's a big old bib pocket in the bib. That's what they had, a big old pocket here. And he said, I'm going to fill that pocket up. Huh? How many got some pockets? If they're not full, he wants to fill them up. Ladies, he wants to fill that pocketbook up. You ought to just go home from here and you just ought to hold it up and say, Father, thank you. Just fill it up with $100 bills. You're not going to tax him. He's not going to run out. Huh? I mean, Kenny, there's people buying great big boats. There's people buying great big houses. Now, trust me, I'm not talking about the things. I'm talking about a God that loves you and wants to give you. And the truth is, most of us, if he starts giving us all that he wants to give us, it'll be stuff that we don't even need and we don't even want to hang on to. We just want to spread it and we just want to hand it out. And makes sense? But you understand, he's not just talking about just our money. We just use money because money is the lowest form of worship. It's the simplest form of worship. Why do you think Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be? You having trouble? You're not, because you're here. You having trouble coming to church and stand in and mentally committed and all that? Just start chunking some in every week, and your heart will be here. Just start putting your treasure in, and your heart will be here. Your heart will follow wherever your treasure goes. Well, that's good work, and I'm not going to back up because Ephesians tells me that God has created us. We're His workmanship, and He's created us to walk in all the good works that He's provided beforehand. He's created us to walk in His goodness. And bless God, I'm going to walk in it, but I'm going to worship and honor Him all the way. I'm not going to get a dime that I don't know where it came from. Are you with me? But it's not, and it's not just that offering, but it's offering ourselves. How many sometimes, don't raise your hand, but sometimes it just seems like there's just not enough time in the week. You just don't have enough time to get everything done. And listen, our society now and our lives are so complex and so busy and all that. But I'm going to tell you what, if you give God the first fruits of your time and you go to service on Sunday morning and you give Him the first fruits, I tell you what, He's going to multiply your time. You're going to be going, is it only 3:00? I thought it was at least 5. Are you hearing me? Well, don't shout me down just because I'm saying good stuff. Hey, you want to have a good day? Give Him the first fruits of that day. Before you do anything, you just stop the world. Jesus, I got to talk to you. Father, I got to spend a minute or two with you here. Are you hearing me? God says, hey, If it's really a treasure to you, you'll sell everything you got and buy that field. If it's really a treasure to you, if it's really that valuable to you, there's no price too big to pay to get it. Because he says, I want to be the most important thing to you. And I'm going to tell you what, any minute now, everything that we've accumulated and created and all the rest of this, we're going to leave, it's still going to be here. Huh? Still going to be here. But you know what's not going to be here? What we invested in the kingdom, our lives, what efforts we put His direction, the things we did to try to touch people and to try to reach people and to try to help people. That's going to go on for eternity. What do you think the crowns and all the rewards and stuff are about? I want some of them. You know why? Because it says that we all have these rewards. The Bible calls them crowns, and we have these crowns, and says they're trying to open the book, and nobody's worthy. But when Jesus comes in, everybody says, but He's worthy. And we're able to take all those rewards, all those crowns, and throw them at His feet because we go, Jesus, I wouldn't even have been able to if it were not for You. Well, I'm getting a little wound up here, but you just have to put up with me. He says, honor me. Breaks my heart when I see, you know, I've been around here for a lot of years. A couple months, it's going to be 43 years. A few of you have been around longer than that. And through the years, we've seen so many people that they come to God and their life's broken and tore up, and most of us were that way. But God takes and puts their life back together and bless. I've seen people that didn't even have a dollar to put in the offering, and God take them and turn them around, and then all of a sudden, after a few years, they're making $100,000 a year. But you don't see them around church anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep honoring God. I was one. I was one of those that didn't have a dollar to put in the offering. But let me just say now, I got one to put in. Huh? And it's all because of Him. It's all because of Him. See, am I whipping a dead pony here, or are you getting it? Huh? I've seen people raise up in the business realm, and then they square their chest off. Look what I've done, and I've been guilty. If we're honest, we've all been guilty. Thank God for mercy and grace, huh? Well, I'm feeling guilty about this, Hank, or that. Well, just receive mercy and then quit feeling guilty about it. Just say, I'm sorry, and just then now let's go on. Let's go to the next chapter. Deuteronomy 18 says, but you shall remember the Lord your God. Remember Him. Don't forget where it comes from. For it's He that gives you the power to get wealth, so that He can establish His covenant with you. Do you understand? His blessings on your life are the seal or the token of that covenant that He's made with us. The New Living Translation says, He gives you the power to be successful. I like that. I just want you to be ready. Because there will be somebody that when this blessing comes, it overtakes you. Only it overtakes you the wrong way. He said in Deuteronomy, He said, if you just do what I say, you just heed to these commandments, you just heed to My word, and these blessings are going to come on you and overtake you. You can't stop the blessings of God when you start living for Him and honoring Him. Because He said, if you honor Me, I'll honor you. You don't have nothing. You're not where you want to be. You're not where you're supposed to be. You're not where you should be. Then say, hey, God, I don't know about any of the rest of this, but I'm honoring You from this time on. I'm giving You honor and glory. My life is going to honor You. Everything I do, everything I say, everything I do. And when I mess up, I'm just going to say, Father, forgive me, and I'm going to start all over again. Can I tell you a secret? Will you not tell anybody? You're going to mess up. Huh? You're going to fail. Huh? So why don't you, if you're going to fail, you know, if you fall, if you're walking and you fall, if you fall forwards, it's not too bad because you can get your step. You know, if you fall backwards, you end up somewhere hurting. But if you're going to fail, why don't you just fail forward? Yeah, I failed, God, but at least I tried. You know what, at least if you try, what if it doesn't work? Well, what if it does? If you try, you at least got a 50% chance of it working. If you don't try, you don't have any chance. I I'm going to be honest, I can't hardly wait till about 5 or 6 months from now. I'm hearing some testimonies now, and I said that 5 or 6 months ago, and I'm hearing some testimonies now. But can I just be honest with you? There's not enough of them yet. Because I want all of you to have some praise in your mouth. I want all of you to have some victory in your mouth. I want all of you to have some overcoming in your life. That's what God wants for you. You get it? He's not trying to hold back. God's not trying to hold back from us. He's trying to give to us. I caught myself praying that way, and I'm going to quit, okay? I'm going to read you one verse at the end here, but I'm going to quit right now. I caught myself praying that way. I was praying like if I was sick, I was praying like that God was, that I was asking God to make me well, or if I was needing money, I'm asking God and just hoping sometime that this request goes across his desk, and then sometime he'll look down and say, well, okay, Hank, I'll do this now. That ain't the way God is. Jesus did it on Calvary. He did it already. He's waiting for Hank to pray like he believes it. Waiting for Hank to trust him. Waiting for Hank to honor him. Waiting for Hank to say, hey, God, I thank you. You know, I said this last week. He never said pray for healing. Jesus never prayed for anybody to be healed. He just said, your sins be forgiven and be healed. Take up your bed and walk. Go wash your eyes over there and you'll see. Are you hearing me? He sent the 12 and the 70 out. He didn't tell them, go pray for the sick. He said, you go preach the good news. You go preach the kingdom and heal the sick. Cast out the devils. Even when he commissioned the 120 and us, he said, hey, you go to Jerusalem and you wait till you get the power. And then once the Holy Ghost has come and you have the power in you, he said, then you go and these signs will follow you that believe. You lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The devils will run from you. And nothing he does will hurt you. Anyway, maybe that's a different message. I'm just trying to get you to see what this means when God says, honor me and I'll honor you. What would you do if Warren Buffett or one of these guys walked up and just gave you a blank check and said, Scott, just whatever you need, just write the check. Just whatever you need. Now, I know some of you are too spiritual to want that. You'd crumble up the check and throw it away, wouldn't you? But now God doesn't want me. I don't want to have too much. I might backslide. I see more people backsliding that don't have anything than I do people that have something. I mean, when he blesses me, it doesn't make me want to backslide. It makes me want to serve him more. I just want you to see what God's saying. He's saying, well, you know, hey, as you believe in your heart, that's the way it'll be. If you just believe, you'll receive. If you'll just speak to this mountain and believe in your heart, believe what you said will happen, it'll happen. Ask whatever you want. Amen. Well, won't some of you ask for what you want? Instead of moping around and trying to make people feel sorry for you, somebody you think might give it to you, get around and poor mouth them. That's like me. I was learning all this faith back in the 70s and early 80s, and I was a man of faith and power, but boy, if I got around my mother, you know, I had to always throw that little poor mouthing in there a little bit because I knew she'd give me something. I mean, if I needed money, she'd fork it out. Are you hearing me? Well, but if you believe what you say, it'll happen. Huh? I just want you to see. He says, honor me. I don't know about you now. I take this and I go, you know, I want to read you out of Philippians 2:9-11. But I said, I just have decided to honor God. How many know we get in the habit, and I do it sometimes. Just kind of throw my tithe in every week. Just kind of put it in and don't think a lot about it and do it out of duty. And if you don't do it for any other reason, you ought to do that. But I'm learning that if I just look at that for a minute, I go, God, thank you. I didn't used to have any of this to put in. So I give you this now, Father, and I honor you with it. Jesus, I honor you with this. Are you hearing me? Let me tell some of you young married couples that are just getting started. Man, the most important thing you'll ever do is put God first place in your home. The most important, and even you older ones and you in between ones and all the rest of that, the greatest thing you'll ever do for yourself is to begin to tithe and give offerings so that God can open up the windows in your life. And it doesn't just happen a one-time thing. I'm talking about God. Somebody came to my house the other day and they said, wow, this sure is a nice house. I said, yeah, but you ought to see where I started. You ought to see where I started with holes in my jeans. And Pam and I first got married, we rented a three-room house and thought it was a mansion. Huh? But yes, but God gave it to you, and He'll give it to you, and He'll continue to increase you, and He'll continue to bless you. You didn't get it by yourself. He gave you the ability to do it. But I'm just saying, He wants to honor you. And anyway, I got to quit. Got to quit. Let me read you Philippians 2. It says, for this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name. Not a name. The name. The name. Which is above every name, so that at that name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in the earth and those that are on, or those that are in heaven and those that are on the earth and those that are under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I don't know about one of you, but I'm not going to be one of those that at the end has to get knocked down and they make me bow my knee and they have to make me talk. No, I'm doing it now. How about you? Everybody just stand to your feet. Father, we bow before you. Jesus, we bow before you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you. We would be nothing without you. We wouldn't even be here without you. We'd have nothing without you. So God, I'm asking you for myself and anybody that will want this for themselves, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, that you work with me and you put a guard on me and that you help me work towards everything that I do will bring honor to the Father, will bring honor to my Savior. Jesus, we confess your name. Your name is above every name. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you. Thank you for defeating the enemy for us. We love you. Just tell him you love him right now. Just tell him you love him. And I don't know if you're in here and you don't know for sure you're saved. I wouldn't leave here today without knowing. Matter of fact, right where you are, why don't you just say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I want to live for you. Will you help me? Will you help me? And if that's what you want, if that's what you prayed, even after we dismiss here, I'm going to ask that you come on down and let one of us pray with you. Let us give you some information. Help you get on your way with the Lord. But I hope everybody hearing me, we'll walk out of here and Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to remind us. I'm asking you to remind me. Everything I do, everything I say, I want it to bring glory to you. And I'm a long way from being there, Father. But I want to be. I want to be. I want to be. Just sing a song and let's praise Him for a minute. Let's praise Him for one song. Can we do that? Let's just love Him for one song. And if you need to come, you would like one of us, maybe you've just not been living for God, you want to rededicate your life, maybe you are saved and you know it. If anybody here that wants to get baptized, that's where Lewis and Nancy are going over here right now. They're here. We want you to get baptized if you need to be baptized. But if you need anything, maybe you just need somebody to agree with you, you come down because we want to pray with you. But let's just worship the Lord with one song here. Just worship Him and love Him. And if you need to come, come on. Praise You, Father. Oh, we love You, God. We love You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Praise You, Lord. Glory to You, God. Glory to You, God. If you need to come, come. Thank You, Lord. So good. So good. So good. So good. Isn't He so good? Woo, Jesus. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're my King. You're my Savior. I think I'll just serve You for eternity, Jesus, because I love You. I love You. If you still need to come for anything, you come. But right now, I'm going to dismiss you in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to speak a blessing into your life. I'm going to speak a blessing into your family, into your home. I believe God to open up those windows for you. I believe Him to open up those opportunities for you. I believe His Spirit to draw you closer than you ever dreamed you could be. I believe God to be able to, I just speak His bigness and His goodness into your life. And if you receive that, you just say, Jesus, I receive it right now. I receive it right now. Isn't He wonderful? Tell Him He's wonderful. Tell somebody around you, shake their hand, tell them, Jesus is wonderful. If you still need one of us to pray or anything, come down. If y'all didn't get to hug you, you could come down too. But hey, I love you. You guys have a blessed day and a blessed week. God's good. God's good.